again, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Paul Dottino and Jeff Fiegel's with you for the next hour to take your comments and questions about the New York Football Giants. They come off a disappointing loss in Pittsburgh. Score says 24-14. Little deceiving. It wasn't a very good day for Big Blue, but they do have the Dallas Cowboys coming up on Sunday, and the Giants' magic number to clinch a playoff spot is 3 over the Washington Redskins with 4 games remaining. The phone number is 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or hit us up at hashtag Giants Chat. He is at Jeff Jay Fiegels,
yes.
And I am at Giants WFAN if you prefer to communicate to us individually via Twitter. Now, first things first, Ben McAdoo will have a conference call today after 3 o'clock with the beat reporters, so we do not have any updates on the Giants' 2 injuries. We do know that Corey Sensabaugh left the game yesterday with a rib injury. We do know he did not return. Jason Pierre-Paul also left the game with a groin injury. He did not return. And from what I understand, afterwards in the locker room, it was said that he was going for an MRI. So we hope that Coach McAdoo has more information later on today. As of now, nobody knows anything about the status of those two players. But certainly, Jeff, there's no question that JPP would be an impactful injury he be sidelined.
Of course. I mean, look at what happened yesterday when he went out of the game.
Although Vernon had 2 sacks, and I give him a lot of credit. Olivier Vernon played a great game again.
He's played a great season.
Yeah.
I mean, not only getting after the quarterback, but against the run too. I mean, he's just a solid player. And you know, when you look at his acquisition in the offseason, you're like, wow, that's a lot of money. Listen, the guy's worth every penny of it. He's going to continue to get better as that hand gets more healthier. But more importantly, JPP, you got to have him. You hope that he's going to return. Listen, he didn't practice all week a couple weeks ago and went out and had a game of his life. So it is possible he doesn't have to all week and can still play against the Cowboys. But you do need him in there.
No question about it. So we will hopefully find out more from Coach McAdoo again after 3 o'clock today. Follow Giants.com and, of course, follow your favorite beat people on Twitter. And I'm sure that that information will make itself out to the fans at some point this afternoon.
Sure.
In any event, in talking about this game, quite frankly, Jeff, Giants did not play well. Let's not say anything else about it. They did not play well. And at the time when they had made it 14-7, it looked as though they're in the third quarter after Jennings catches that 13-yard touchdown pass from Eli Manning, and it's 14-7. It looks like the Giants at least are going to be able to scratch their way back into the game. But then what happened? Ben Roethlisberger hit Ladarius Green on 2 key passes during an 88-yard scoring drive that made it a 2-touchdown game. And from that point forward, the Avalanche continued, and Pittsburgh put it away.
And we talked about Ladarius Green on Friday. The Friday show with Schmelk. And, you know, this Giants football team has always had a hard time with tight ends. We know that. And, again, it continued yesterday. And it's not going to get any easier coming up next week because you know who's back in town next week.
Yeah. So the Giants' 6-game winning streak is over as they prepare to face the Dallas Cowboys. They no longer have the 100-yard rushing streak, which ended at 3. Giants didn't even run the ball for 60 yards yesterday. So that's over. The winning streak is over. Le'Veon Bell ran for 100 yards, one of the few running backs this year who have done that against the Giants.
I think it's the only one.
Might be the only one.
It is.
I can't even remember now.
It is.
So a lot of things ended yesterday in a poor fashion for this team. Eli Manning had gone 2 games in a row without turning the ball over, either via fumble or interception. Yesterday he got picked off twice. Got hit. They only registered 3 quarterback hits. I'd swear it was more than that, and 2 sacks. He was under pressure a lot.
One of them should have been a penalty.
I mean, hey.
He drove him right into the ground. No call.
I remember that.
No call.
I remember that play.
Horrible.
There were like 3 Steelers on him, and they buried him. They made him a part of the turf.
And really, the interception there in the down on the goal line that he threw was a killer because, you know, you punch that one in there, it makes it a different game.
Giants,
really,
I believe, were 0-for-5 on 4th down.
Well, you know, in the first half, they were
0-for-3.
In the first half, this Giants team was, I'll tell you right now, what they were on 3rd down, and it was actually pretty good. Going into the second half, this Giants team was 60% on 3rd downs in the first half. However, the Steelers were also 56%. converting on some third down conversions there, too.
Once again, though, without the ability to run the ball, the Giants only had it for nearly 26 minutes, and that's a big problem.
And, Paul, we can talk about this. We've talked about it all season, that you can't kid yourself if you think that this football team is going to go really, really deep until they fix this. You can't do it. You got to be able to run the football, and it's just an Achilles heel of this team. And you just mentioned a little bit of before we came on the air is why. We're not getting to play out of the tight ends, like you said. You know, their blocking isn't really good. The offensive line is in and out with injuries here and there. No continuity. And this team just cannot continue to go game by game. Now, listen, 2 weeks ago they had a 100-yard rushing game, but 22 of it came on an end around with Sterling Shepard.
Right.
Okay, so if you want to count that, yes, you can. But I'm not going to count that because that was kind of a trick play. My running game is between the tackles or even on a design run play. This 2 weeks in a row they have not run over 100 yards.
But they've only hit 100 four times all season.
Yeah,
a team.
So, and you know how important it is when you get into December to be able to run the football. It's the true recipe for success in what used to be the NFC East. Remember,
yeah.
You had to run the football in December. This old division. That's what it came down to. But this team can't. And when you go against a running back like Bell, and he's fun to watch now. I mean, he is a really good player, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. A lot of stuff like we talked about Friday when we were game planning for the game. He's one of the best players in the National Football League, and you know this team to me just didn't look like they were ready yesterday. Not as preparation wise, mentally. You know, going into the game, but just from the get go,
Well, Steelers were the more desperate team.
Situation
was.
Absolutely. And, you know, if last we talked about Friday, if the playoffs had started Friday, the Pittsburgh Steelers were out of the playoffs. It's 6-5. They're not in the playoffs. They are battling. It's a home game. They played well at home this year, and they were the better team. And now we look at what's going forward, Paul. Okay, the Redskins lost yesterday. The Giants lost. They're still 1 week closer now to the playoffs with four games left. And what'd you say? They got to win. If they win three, they clinch?
Magic number is three against
the
Redskins.
That's with them just winning unless somebody else doesn't lose or whatever, right?
Yep.
So, it's all in all, I know you said it, Paul, and this is very rare. Paul says, you know what? I'm not upset with this loss.
I don't think you ever like to lose. Anyway, folks, thanks for watching on Twitter. Go to Giants.com or the Giants app, and you can watch the entire one-hour show live or, of course, later on Giants.com on the archive. So as we continue Big Blue Kickoff Live, yeah, the point is, if you're strictly looking at the Giants as trying to make the playoffs, you never want to lose, you're never happy, you're never satisfied, you never don't care about a loss. That's absolutely true. But in terms of the big picture, where do the Giants stand? They're still the number five in the conference.
All right.
Okay. They've got a lead of one game over Tampa. They've got a game and a half lead over the number seven team in the conference, the Washington Redskins. And again, they are 1 week closer to clinching a playoff spot. In my mind, a playoff season is a successful season for this team.
Well, it's a successful season for any team.
Right. And if the Giants make the playoffs, I'm not going to pull Eeyore of Winnie the Pooh and say, okay, they didn't run the ball well. They didn't win the division. Oh, my. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be Eeyore. All right?
Don't be Eeyore.
I'm going to tell you, if the Giants make the playoffs, that's a great thing, and then everybody is 0-0 and take it from there.
And you know how this team historically can play when they make the playoffs as a wild card. This team historically has done very well in that position.
And but they are, let's make it clear, Jeff, they are a flawed team like almost everybody else in the National Football League is. Everybody's got flaws. The question is, what are they? How many flaws do you have? Where do they show themselves in a particular matchup? And that's the thing. You know what, Jeff? The last few years it's been this way in the NFL, and I think maybe even this year it's going to continue to be that way, maybe even more than ever, as long as this league is the quicksand of parity that it is. It is the matchup that will determine the win more than the quality of the roster. Because if you get the right matchup, you can just go all the way. But if you don't get the right matchup, you're going to lose. It's that simple.
Yeah, and when we look at it on paper, when we do matchups, that's what the game of football is all about. How do I match up with the other team? Every team has good talent. Some of them are better than others, but it is the way you match up on Sunday.
I don't think the Steelers are a better team than the Giants. Let me make that clear. I don't think so, but the matchup is very bad for the Giants, and I knew that going in.
Well, we knew that each team had a very high-profile receiver, no doubt probably the two best in the league, with A.J. Green and what have you. But the Steelers had that the Giants don't is a running game. They got Le'Veon Bell. I mean, come on, you know? And really, when you look at the Giants, they did abandon the running game in the second half of this game. They had, you know, eight runs in the first half and six in the second. But, you know, I think that we're missing somebody here, and we haven't talked about him in a while. We're hoping that the Giants get him back. That's Vereen. Vereen is a huge component to this running game, and he went out early in the season, and it's hurt them.
In the passing game, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not kid ourselves.
Oh, no question. Okay, so look, I know I'm not going to compare Shane Vereen to Le'Veon Bell, but I am going to compare his skill level with both being able to run and catch the football.
Compare his impact on the offense, not his skill level.
No.
Compare his impact.
Exactly. And yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you don't want to have to rely on Rashad Jennings to catch six balls out of the backfield. That's not his forte. His forte is Vereen. That's the guy you want in that lineup because you can change it up with him. He can run the ball eight times a game, which this year they started doing that, give him the ball a little bit more than he did last year. But that is a component that offense has been missing. I think that when he gets back, I think it'll change.
All right. There you go, folks. 201-939-4513. That's our summation of where the Giants stand and what they did in Pittsburgh. Now it's time to talk to you guys. Dan from Santa Cruz, California, you are first on the show. Hello.
All right, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Good morning, Dan.
Sure.
How you doing? Yesterday, it was pretty evident to me, finally, that we, in the draft, made a drastic mistake not drafting Laremy Tunsil. I love Eli Apple, actually. I'm a big Eli Apple fan. But
first pick of his career yesterday, plus a fumble recovery, by the way.
His second.
I think he's great, and he would have been a nice beginning of the second round pick. But you had the best player in the draft sitting there, and I think a key problem is Flowers at left tackle. And I'm a big Flowers fan. I think he's a Kareem McKenzie type who would do quite well on the right side, and I'm not sure why they're obsessed with keeping him on the left side because he's getting beat by speed rushers on every other play.
That's simple.
And Eli Manning seeing ghosts before the
Here's
play
the problem.
Comes on every other play.
Here's the problem. Right now, he's the best left tackle they have. Who do you want to put out there?
Well, Laremy Tunsil, but I guess it's a
no,
little too late
all right,
for that.
He's not here. He's not here. Do you want Jeff Fegels to play left tackle?
No. Please no. Say no.
That's the problem. Seriously.
That is
you
the can, problem.
All right, you got your bet is made. All right, the draft is over. Training camp is upon you. You're trying to find the best 53 you can find. You make your decisions and say these are the best 53. Who's your best left tackle? Ereck Flowers, for all his flaws, he's the best left tackle they have.
Yeah, I guess you're right on that. And I'd like to just touch on one or two quick things. The other thing with the play calling, I know, you know, many people have called in over and over about the play calling. But, you know, one perfect example, it was, I think, second down, late in the game. You're still in the game. It was a bubble screen or something to Rashad Jennings with the corner and safety right up on him. Eli's lucky that wasn't taken for seven the other way. I don't comprehend what's going on. They act like they've never seen a cover two all year. They're playing two deep safety zones. I don't know why they can't figure that out. There's the middle of the field should be open all day long with Sterling Shepard. Putting Victor Cruz in the slot, I think, would help and move him around. He's not an outside receiver. He doesn't have straight line speed, so I don't understand that.
Well, I think that they've tried all kinds of different combinations at that wide receiver position with Sterling Shepard and with Odell Beckham in the slot all around. But mm-hmm. when you see those two deep safeties, as I mentioned to it on Friday's show, you know, typically, Eli Manning does very well against the two-deep zone concept. He usually does very well. Yesterday, not so good. They were getting pressure
right, yeah,
on him.
I'm a huge Eli fan, but, man, he's been disappointing this year. I was kind of attributing to Ereck Flowers because I feel like he's looking to move up to the pocket so early in the count that he's not getting any progression. It's like right. If his first receiver isn't open, you know, it's like he's running for his life. And then, you know, we're going to tight ends who, you know, are below average tight ends, really, on big, big downs. Will Tye has to make that catch. I mean, you hit him in the hands in the end zone. Shazier made a nice play, but he's got to make the catch. And the tight ends just are kind of a disaster. Every time we go to them, something bad happens, I feel like. And, you know, you're going to them in big spots. You got Victor Cruz, who isn't even in the game for some reason. He's running outside deep routes against, you know, guys who can run with him instead of feeling the space out in the middle of the field. He was such a good slot receiver because he understood where the areas he could sit back in and cut over. And I don't think Sterling Shepard has that kind of feel for the game yet. I think he's good. I don't think he understands the nuances that Victor Cruz does. So, and Shepard did run a 4-4, so why not move him to the outside and see what he can do on the outside and have Victor Cruz back in his old spot? I mean, we have three receivers, but really we're only using two of them.
That would be an interesting twist to what they've done. You know, I'm sure the Giants' offensive staff has looked at all these different things.
Of course they have.
And we appreciate the phone call.
I hope so, yes.
Take care. Jeff, let's make something clear. Tunsil, even though he made the Dolphins, been playing guard most of the season, not left tackle.
Okay.
So despite the fact that he came out of college and everybody projected him to be a stud tackle, for the Dolphins, he's been hurt a little bit. I think he's missed a few games as well. But they also wound up making him a guard. So there's no lock that he would have been like an all-pro left tackle this year as a rookie coming out of the gate and that he would have been great and he would have made a huge difference to the Giants. There's no lock on that. Now, don't get me wrong. I thought coming out that his skill set would have been good for that spot.
Yeah.
Okay? But you had the off-the-field issues, which erased him from the Giants, taking him at that spot. So that made him irrelevant anyway. But even if you wanted to ignore that, understand he's been playing guard for the Dolphins this year.
Well, I mean, and a lot of people would have liked to see him at the tackle position. But, you know, listen, when he was coming up in the draft that offseason or the off-the-field stuff really scared the Giants away. That stuff, you know.
Made a lot of teams question him.
No question. And that's why he fell. And the Giants ended up taking Eli Apple.
And by the way, Eli Apple, he's a good player.
Coming around, you know,
mistakes.
You kind of compare him to a little bit to Landon Collins last year, you know.
You could do that.
Just, you know, learning the game a little bit at this level, and you look at the corner that Landon Collins was able to turn this year. The guy has become an unbelievable football player, and I think that when you talk to the Giants scouts and GM, that they're looking for him to be that type of player next year too.
You know, I try to compare it, and you go back. I know you do. A lot of our listeners and viewers may not. You guys remember Mark Haynes?
Mm-hmm.
I know you do. When Mark Haynes got to the Giants as a number one draft pick, he really was not very good as a rookie. He made a ton of mistakes.
Did they have Big Blue Kickoff back then that they could talk
they
about?
They did not. They did not. And if they had, the fans would have tried to run him out of town.
Right, exactly.
Because as a rookie, he wasn't very good. But,
so what'd they
but
do?
Turned out, multiple-time Pro Bowl cornerback.
Sure.
He was sensational. Until he then got hurt, got a little overweight, had trouble with the coaches and management, and then they wound up trading him. But Mark Haynes, go remember, for you old folks out there, remember what he was like as a rookie. Eli Apple's better as a rookie than Mark Haynes was.
Well, if he can go on and be like him, that would be good. A couple Pro Bowls would be nice. But it is a huge transition. I don't care if you played at Ohio State or not. The pro game is so much different. Yeah, you get the experience playing
remember,
a big conference.
Apple came out early, too. Remember
yeah,
that.
There you go. So, I mean, he's got a lot to learn, and he's doing it. But you can't really – I thought he played a good game yesterday. Like Paul said, an interception, a fumble recovery, his second one of the year. So,
all right.
Yeah, go back to the calls.
Mike, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Okay, how are you?
I had two questions about the receiving core. Not even specifically the receiving core, but did you feel like yesterday Eli Manning was trying to force the ball a little bit too much to OBJ? Because I can remember at least, I want to say, three drives where they went through him three times and just went three and out.
In the first half, Odell Beckham was not targeted as much as I think they wanted to. And then I think in the second half, they went to him quite a bit.
Okay, first half summary, one catch on one target, and he finished up 10 catches on 16 targets.
So he had 15 in the second half. So, yes, to answer your question, flat out yes. And what's happening is when Eli is not able to make Sorry about my voice today, guys. I was yelling like crazy at the high school football game.
Son, high school championship game MVP and victory.
They won.
How about that? Zach Fiegels.
The Group 5 state championships Sunday, so my voice is gone. I'm drinking the old broadcaster concoction here with the green tea.
I don't need
honey.
To know.
No, green tea and honey. And I don't know, is it Bigelow? But anyways, but to be honest with you, what happens with Eli is when he is – you know, he's going to try to find the best feel on the best player on the field. We know who that is. But when you don't have the protection like he did yesterday, you can't go through your progressions, and he's just going to try to rip it in there. So that was kind of the problems yesterday with the other guys. This is two games in a row now that two of your three receivers, okay, did not catch a ball in back-to-back games. Sterling Shepard last week and now Victor Cruz this week. That answers your question right there.
And when you're talking about this triple threat being one of the most dangerous in the NFL through the first 9 weeks of the season or 10 weeks of the season, and then one of them in consecutive weeks disappears, that's not good. You know, that's got to fix itself
and
somehow.
No running game to put in with that. There's their offense. It only gets 194 yards passing and 200 and something yards in the game.
But again, I want to be fair about this.
You're always fair, Paul.
Jeff talked – well, I try to be. Jeff talked about this Friday when he was on with Schmelk. I tried to set people up for it last week. This was not a good matchup for the Giants. It was more of a matchup problem than it was an overall team problem.
But execution has to be involved.
And the execution was so poor that made this look really, really ugly.
Because
and I get that.
Because really, true execution in a ball game, if you want to talk about matchups, okay, that's fine. Yeah, maybe they may not match up well. But if you execute well, you have a chance to win some of those matchups.
Absolutely.
And they didn't happen.
Absolutely. They should have been able to pull themselves out of the mud, and they didn't do it.
Okay, and my other question was, do you think Shane Vereen coming back will have a huge impact on the offense? Or the running game? Because I feel like the problem is more with the blocking of the run game, not the backs we have in the backfield.
I'll give you my take on this, okay? And I'll give you an example. When you lose a guy like Vereen in your offense, who last year, I don't know what percentage of the offense he was, but it was quite a bit, okay? You take him out of any offense, any one of those type of players out of your offense, the other opponent can now – you have no threat anywhere else. They're not worried about – Rashad Jennings catching the ball like Shane Vereen. They're not worried about this or that when he's out of the lineup. When you inject him back into this game, they now have another component to their offense that will help them. And yes, certainly it has completely hurt them, him not being in that lineup. I hate to put so much pressure on him, but the fact is that he will help this team going forward when he gets back. We don't know when he's coming back. We do know he returned to practice and was running around and doing some things like that, but we don't know exactly what the doctors are telling him. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks for calling in, too.
Appreciate. We will go to LeVar in Atlanta. He's on line one. You're next on the show. Hello.
LeVar, how are you, man?
What's going on, Jeff?
Not much,
Paul.
Good to talk to you.
Hey, I just got a couple of things. Get through it really quickly if I can.
Sure.
The Pittsburgh game, games usually when they go, it's like maybe one or two plays that can determine the outcome of a game.
Right.
And yesterday, I disagree with Paul. He said we did not play well yesterday. I disagree with that. And I think the defense played well enough. The offense did not convert or did not show up in certain plays, which determined the outcome of the game. The drive in which Odell Beckham was flagged for pass interference and Flowers got that terrible holding call in the end zone. I think it was a bad call. I'm not blaming the refs. I won't do that because we can sit here and go back and forth. But that call, I think you got to let them play. Vernon got held on one play with Ben Roethlisberger. They let stuff like that go. I think that was a huge momentum shift. It was only 2 points, but that was one instance. If we convert there and get that first down, who knows what happens. Then the fourth down toss to Will Ty. If he catches that ball, who knows how the game turns out after that. It's just the offense. They were making those plays during the winning streak. We were converting fourth downs. We were getting those plays. And we win. And if we do that yesterday against Pittsburgh, I think the outcome would have been vastly different. But the defense played well. They kept us in the game. It was Pittsburgh had 5 points in the second quarter. when we had a chance to score a touchdown, but he threw that red zone interception, it would have been 7-5. The game would have been totally different.
You know, I would only say this to you, LeVar, and I don't think the defense played poorly, but, you know, when Steve Spagnuolo looks at 21st downs from the Steelers, he's not going to be happy. When he looks at Pittsburgh's 7 of 15 conversion rate on third down, he's not going to be happy. When he looks at Pittsburgh holding the ball for 34 minutes, he's not going to be happy. I mean, when he looks at the 88-yard touchdown drive that made it 21-7, he's not going to be happy. You know, when he sees Le'Veon Bell with over 100 rushing yards and Ladarius Green with over 100 receiving yards, he's not going to be happy.
Paul, you know, you sound like Scott with the stats.
What I'm saying to you is this. I think the Giants' defense can play better than they did yesterday. That's what I'm going to say.
I get what you're saying, but this is what I'm saying. The stats are misleading. Time of possession, when you have a red zone turnover, and when you have calls, and can you blame the refs? I mean, the calls influenced the game. That pass interference could have gone either way.
LeVar,
if it's defense, we keep the ball. Time of possession, it's a first down. If it's not a holding penalty, Beckham catches that ball on the sideline. It counts as a target. It's a first down. We can go back and forth, but you're right. We lost. It's not the refs' fault. The offense, they just didn't make the plays they needed to make. I wanted to make two more comments on
Beckham. Okay, LeVar, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Odell Beckham, he reminds me a little bit of Cam Newton and his attitude when it comes to certain things. It just plays badly. I mean, I understand you're friends with a guy. I understand you respect the guy. You train with a guy. That's great. But in the game of the week, in front of everybody who's watching, six-game winning streak, all the hubbub all week, you can't be seen smiling at anything the other team does against your team. You are a Giant. You are a football player on this team. What about Janoris Jenkins? How does that look to Janoris Jenkins that he's trying his best, he's been prepared all week with the defense to stop the Steelers, and then he's got to look up or read about or hear about how one of his teammates is smiling after he gave up a big play or a touchdown?
Well, he was clapping. He was clapping. Huh? He was applauding the catch. You didn't see it on TV, did you?
I did not.
I did.
No. I was talking about Paul.
No, I was on the the field, and I didn't see the television.
I saw it
coverage.
On the tape, and I'll tell you, I was not happy with it because are correct.
It's bad form. Yeah. It's terrible form. And I'm like, it's like Cam Newton yesterday with the I couldn't find the tie. This is your job. This is your profession. You want to try to have fun, that's all well and good, but you have to understand this is your profession. You have to act accordingly, and that is a poor, poor look. And last thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to take it off the air, Eric Flowers played bad yesterday. I've been on his side all year. I say give that man at least another year under his belt of experience. He went up against a very experienced, a very hard opponent in James Harrison. That was a terrible call that everybody's going to kill him on. He did have, another false start. But that's a game we could lose. I do agree with you guys on that. It was out of conference game. We didn't lose any ground. No need to go crazy over it. The games we got to win are still ahead of us, and let's beat the Cowboys.
LeVar, before you go, there's one thing that we will agree on, and I guarantee you on this one. You talk about, you know, guys making plays or not making plays, and one of my favorite things, Jeff, is list the plays that were made above the X's and the O's. Right. I love to talk about that.
Sure.
Let's just talk about two end zone throws in the game. Antonio Brown makes a play above the X's and the O's with Jack Rabbit all over him, and somehow his arm comes down a millimeter in bounds, and that's a touchdown.
Yep.
And Will Tye's unable to hold on to a ball when he's hit in the end zone, and it's a fourth down incompletion. Imagine if those two plays had gone in the reverse direction.
Exactly.
So make plays above the X's and the O's more than the other guy does, and you got a good chance to win the game.
Or how about just
thank you, LeVar.
Or how about just doing your job and understanding that when you're backed up and you're in the end zone, you can't hold. You know, I mean come on. You can't. That's that was a 5-point turnaround right there. When you think about the safety, they kick the ball back off to him. The Steelers get pretty good, decent field position. They drive down and kick a field goal. There's 5 points. That safety really cost him 5 points. And you know, listen, I agree with him about everything you said about this game. And it goes on the loss column. But it was an out of conference game, and you can only concentrate on what you got going ahead. This team has three division games out of four left, and those and an NFC opponent. So this next month of football is going to be darn right. It's going to be grind nose. You got to go, and you don't want this team to all of a sudden spiral out of control, and you're at the end of the season going, here we are again. Here we are again fighting for a playoff spot. You don't want to fight for this playoff spot after the six-game winning streak you just went through and how much time and effort you put into that. You certainly don't want to see it go away. And you got to button up things that just happened yesterday. Bottom line, the Giants did not play a good football game. The score is indicative to a little bit closer than it was. This game was not 24-14. It wasn't that close. And I feel like the defense they kept them in the game, but offensively, they could have played a lot better.
Ultimately.
Oh, let me tell you what happened. So basically, on the touchdown pass that you were describing to Antonio Brown, above the X's and O's, and Roethlisberger played above the X's and O's there too. He waited and waited and waited and threw that ball.
A few times yesterday, not just once.
After Antonio Brown caught the football, the network panned over to the sidelines, and they saw Odell Beckham on the sidelines, and he was smiling, and he was nodding his head, and he was clapping. Like, he was applauding the play that Antonio Brown just made. Like, nice job. Good one. You know, that's a no-no. That's a no-no.
When I review the game tape tonight, getting back early this morning, I did not have time to do so. When I review it tonight, I'm sure I will get a look at that.
I'm sure I would like to hear your version of what you think about it. And
yeah,
I can tell you right now, I'm not happy about it. Listen. You can go applaud them all you want after the game's over, but don't do it on the Giants sideline when the networks are looking at you. And I know you're friends with them and stuff like that. That's great. But you know, and the caller had mentioned LeVar about what does that say to
Jenkins?
Hello, yeah.
I know Jenkins.
Jackrabbit.
And
yeah,
By the way, I thought Jackrabbit would contain him. I said no more than 80 yards and a touchdown for Brown,
less.
And that's what he did.
Yeah.
He held him. He contained Antonio Brown. In fact, on that play, he had great coverage.
He was all over him.
Great throw and an unbelievable catch.
Roethlisberger put it one place and one place only that he could, and the guy made the catch.
And I'll tell you what, they had to review it because they weren't even sure that Brown's
elbow
had come down in bounds.
They had a great close-up of it, and it was a good catch, good throw, and he came down in bounds.
Let's try to get to some of your Twitter comments because, again, I know some of you can't get through on the line, so I want to try to be fair about this and get to some of your Twitter comments. We have here A.J. Marshall talking about covering Ladarius Green, a big factor in the game. Woes continue covering the tight end, no question about that. Green caught two long passes on the deciding touchdown drive. I've talked about it already before during the show. No need to beat that horse. Zach says Eric Flowers getting too many holding calls, a big problem with that. We have Giants 31 says the loss should be a wake-up call for this team.
Hopefully it is.
You know, we have Chris Grothwall says, why is Eli tunnel vision Beckham? Well, I think in the second half, he was about the only guy moving the ball down the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can't necessarily blame him for throwing the ball to him.
And he had 100 yards receiving. I mean,
10 catches for 100 yards.
I mean, there's your player.
You know, John F. says, talk about Cruz not being targeted all game. He played less than half the snaps. I'm sure Ben McAdoo will be asked that on the conference call. And we'll find out what was going on with that because I don't know the answer to that myself.
Well, let's think about that. So, what were they in 11 personnel that whole time and he was on the sideline and who was in? Was it
Roger Lewis got more snaps than Cruz did yesterday.
All right. So, you know, I think that's a good question to ask.
Let the coach answer it.
Yeah.
Weehigh Cleek says he cites a bunch of questionable officiating calls, but here's the thing.
Can't do it.
You can't do that because you got to play with those refs who are on the field, and you have to overcome them. And sometimes they're going to help you. Sometimes they're going to hurt you. Bottom line is you've just got to find a way somehow to understand that built-in error is going to be there.
But it is the second time the Giants have had that crew this season, and there's been a little bit of, you know, talk about that too.
Okay, talking about a run game, giving up, aborting the running game when playing from behind. Well, once it got to 21-7, what were you going to do?
Yeah, you're not going to, with no running game, you're not going to say, hey, let's try to get it going when you're down 21-7.
I know. All right, let's see here. Talking about offensive problems, we see a bunch of guys talking about that. either chosen one talks about maybe using Cruz in the slot more. We heard a caller earlier say that. A lot of the similar stuff, and I would expect a lot of similar comments because it is what it is.
I mean, we're not trying to, you know, we're digging here, but we're not going to uncover something we don't know. Really would like to just have some questions to some of these answers to some of these questions.
We're going to have to find out some more today. Again, Coach McAdoo's looked at the film already last night and this morning. So I'd like to hear more of his perspective at 3 o'clock. Dre Day 2014 says Tunsil is hurt. Try again. Yeah, he has hurt. He has missed some time, but he's played primarily guard. Again, right. Understand that. Tunsil has not started as left tackle for the Dolphins this year. So for those of you who wanted him to be there for the Giants this season, maybe that's not where he was meant to play.
And maybe,
I don't know.
And listen to this. Just maybe the Giants would have, when they drafted him, they might have made him the right guard.
Don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what the Dolphins did.
I don't know.
Vic Fontana wants to know, is Beattie still on the roster? Why is he not getting in the game? The Giants feel he's not one of the best five.
Yep, he is in a reserve role. He's there if you know, he's probably the bottom of the barrel as far as the lineman. I mean, he doesn't get in the game. Gets in a couple jumbo tight end stuff, but that's it.
Michael says in three games this season, Eli couldn't produce a tight end. Giants are 8-4, so Spags not getting enough credit. Wow. Interesting comment.
What was that again?
He says in three games this season, Eli couldn't score a touchdown. I'm guessing throw for one or rush for one. I'm not sure exactly what he means by that, but he does say the Giants are 8-4 and Spags is not getting enough credit. This defense is really good. Even though they gave up that decisive drive, this defense kept them in the game as long as they could yesterday.
They're 8-4 because of the defense.
No question.
And, you know, Spags is he's got a roster now that has some depth, and he's got some players that are healthy, and he's got some leaders. You look at Snacks and Jenkins and OV, those guys are truly really good football players.
Obadiah wants to know about Paul Perkins, says he needs more carries.
Well, he'll get them eventually, but he is he's a very raw football player, very young. He's getting better, though. He's getting better in his pass protection. He's getting better in his vision. And listen, he had a nice run yesterday, you know, and that's the type of runs you're going to see from Paul Perkins. You're going to get those 15, 20-yard runs out of him because that's just the way he likes to run. He's not your pounder guy like Jennings.
No. All right, enough for Twitter for now. Let's go back to the calls. Brian from Charlotte, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, hi, Mr. Peters. Hey, Mr. Pitino. How are you guys doing today?
Wonderful.
We got about 10 minutes because we've got meetings to get to and got to end the show early. So we're going to try to get to Brian, Nuggs, and Robin before we close out. So go ahead, Brian, quickly.
Yes, sir. We're going to talk about the offensive line. My one issue, John Jerry and Justin Pugh. Okay. You know, beginning of the season, you know, we talked about how these guys, you know, they took advantage of their off time to work on their craft. Mm-hmm. And then we look at Ereck Flowers. Yes, and we know, you know, he was supposed to be a right tackle, but they, through the circumstances, he became the left tackle. But where was his development at? I didn't hear anything about him taking any time in the offseason, you know, to work on his craft. And because of that, I feel like, this is the result of that, you know.
Well, that doesn't mean that he wasn't working on his craft just because you didn't hear about it. You don't know that, and we don't know. So, go ahead.
It was much publicized that John Jerry went to school.
But I mean,
and Pugh trained with martial arts, okay. And I think it was also Richburg. It was publicized that he had done some stuff. I didn't hear about Flowers, but Jeff's right. Just because you don't hear about it, you don't know.
We don't hear much from him. Period. The guy's the quietest player on the player.
The way LeCharles Bentley helped out John Jerry after going to school, maybe Ereck Flowers wants to consider it.
Well, I hope so. And listen. You ought to improve your craft always, and you are correct. Those guys that did, they said, hey, we need to get better. You always can do something off the field to get better.
And going into his third season next year, 2017, that's usually the year where you really become what you're going to be.
No question.
So next year, Ereck Flowers better get rid of a lot of these mistakes.
Yep.
Amen to that.
Yes.
Well, fellas, thank you so much. I just had to get that off my chest.
Yeah, we appreciate the call.
Guys, I know we're on
short. Absolutely. Would you like to pay his way to go to offensive line school, by the way? Well, we'll collect your donation.
Yeah. My salary?
Yeah, I don't think so, right? Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Brian.
You guys have a great day. Yep.
Appreciate it. You too now. Nugs from Kansas City.
Yo.
You're next to last on the show. Hello.
Nugs, long time, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I barely got in, so I'm just happy to get on the show today.
Okay.
What I wanted to say is, now, I don't really have too much about the X's and O's, but I just want to say I'm really nervous about this week, about this last month. We're so close,
yeah.
And I know we need to win at least, like, two of these last four games.
Yeah, I think at least two will do it.
Yeah,
I think two will get us in. I'm not optimistic about Dallas because just seeing what Le'Veon Bell did to us, and I'm just thinking like Ezekiel Elliott and an even better offensive line, and JPP might be hurt, and I don't know. But I'm just getting the feeling like, I mean, we really need this, man. I don't know what to say. I mean, sometimes I feel like McAdoo is doing the best he can with what he has, and then sometimes I feel like we're being outcoached a little bit. And I just think all of those snaps where we've been leaning on our defense for 40, 35 minutes a game is going to catch up with us at the very worst time. And I just know if we get Eli into the dance, we've got a puncher's chance always.
Yep.
But I'm just really, really, like, last night was really disheartening because it seemed like there was nothing we could do about it. It was just like missed tackles. We already knew what they were going to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like Le'Veon Bell was the show. I mean, Antonio Brown, yeah, he had his 80 yards and a touchdown. That's nothing to write home about, at least by his standards. But when Le'Veon Bell has almost as many yards as we have total yards, you know, they were killing us with that screen, and I just don't know what we were looking at last night. But I just don't think that we can go into the playoffs losing time of possession like that. I mean, and I wanted to ask you this, Paul. What happened to the jumbo package, man? You promised me we were going to see it. I didn't see it. It just seemed like the Steelers, you know, they ran it down our necks with it all day. And I just wanted to – I mean, fourth and one, I'm not going to be mad. Ty dropped the ball. But, you know, I mean, dang, we can't just go and beast them for a yard, man. I mean,
I don't like to
see that power puff football. You know, we got to have it. We had to have it, man.
Let me quickly respond to that. Then we're going to have to let you go. But Deal and I had talked about this last week, and we said that it was going to be important for the Giants to go jumbo and to be able to get physical and get into a sumo fight at times, if not the whole game, with the Steelers. They decided that they were going to go more through the air and try to do it that way, and they went the opposite way. There is a philosophy that says you can do that. The problem is if your protection doesn't hold up and you don't get all the right plays going, you run yourself into a hole.
Or if you don't catch the ball.
I agree. And that's why I say I think last night that we got outcoached a little bit. I think that, you know, I just think that McAdoo is just a little bit too stubborn for my taste. And I don't know if that's the right analogy because, like I said, you guys always remind me I'm a fan, I'm emotional, and I'm going to do and say emotional fan stuff. But at the same time, I would just like to – I mean, the Steelers were rolling out that three tight end package. And I know we don't have three tight ends that can block, but let's pretend like we can and get half a yard.
Nugs, final thought before I let you go, and I mean this. Last week, if I looked at the five Giants games left on the schedule, and if we had had this conversation, I would have told you the hardest game of the five games to win will be the Pittsburgh Steelers. I would have told you that if we had this conversation. That was the game I felt the worst about. It gets.
And one more thing,
it gets easier from here. I got to get to the next call. Go ahead.
Paul Perkins averaged 5.4 yards a carry, man. I think that we could have gotten those hidden yards with him. He's a guy who can make the first man miss. He can make a guy coming clean miss. We saw that. Jennings doesn't have that. And all I just think
I got to go. Thank you. Take care. It'll be okay, Nugs. I promise you. It gets easier from this point forward. It really does. Robin, you're next on the show. Last one. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for taking my call, man. I just got a quick few points.
2 minutes. Go ahead.
You know, tell me offline. One thing I got about what Odell Beckham is doing, I know another caller had mentioned this.
Yeah.
But that's something that should never happen.
Nope.
I mean, I understand at the end of the game, you want to exchange jersey, do whatever. That's fine.
Right.
But the one thing I got to say about that is, like, when Eli was asked, who's his best player? Who's his favorite player in the league? He said Peyton Manning was his player. His brother was his player. A couple of years ago when he played him and Peyton Manning kind of torched us when we played him at MetLife, he was in the sideline cheering for his brother. He was there, you know, studying plays, looking at, you know, what he can do to make the team better. And another thing is as soon as Will Tyer came into the game, not Will Tyer, Larry Donnell, I knew that play was all blown up. As soon as he came in, because I knew they was passing to him, and I think the linebacker, you know, he realized that too. That's why he dropped back in coverage and picked that ball off.
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't know the ball was going to him. So, I mean, some of the plays, you know, like teams already know what we're going to do.
Thank you, Robin. I appreciate it.
Well, certainly when you run Donnell and he hasn't been in the game for the last 2 weeks at that position, it's hello. That
guy's probably not coming in to block.
They study film, by the way. They know personnel. So when you see 84 in there, you're like, oh, bing, bing. Radars go up. Okay. Yeah. Sat on that really good. That was it. Yeah.
Yep. That'll do it for today's edition of Big Blue Kickoff.
Sorry
Live,
for being
folks.
A little short today, guys, but, you know, we got meetings to
business to deal with. 201-939-4513. Write down the number. You can give us a call back again tomorrow. I'm not sure who's going to be hosting tomorrow. You could always hit us up on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. He's at Jeff J. Feagles. I'm at Giants WFAN. We'll try to answer your questions off the air over the course of the next 24 hours. That'll do it for today's show. We'll see you next time on Giants.com.